everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 122 for Thursday, January 17th, 2013. We're back. We're home. We're back. We're out of Las Vegas. I don't think you folks at home appreciate how good that is. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host for the Android Central Podcast and the editor of AndroidCentral.com. And we got a trio tonight. We got Alex Dobie back in England.
Hey, everyone.
And Jerry Hildenbrand is still in West Virginia. Hasn't Cheers. Left. And when was the last time you left West Virginia? Well, like Tuesday?
This morning.
Okay.
I live 2 minutes from Virginia.
That's true. So, cheers, guys. It's good to see you again. It's been a little while. If it's your first time joining us, I know we still have a lot of new people hitting the site and getting Android phones, and it's pretty cool. We do this generally every week. You know, we're kind of getting into the weird travel season a little bit, show season. So if we miss a week here or there, don't freak out, especially if we're traveling, if we're at events, because chances are we'll do a special show from there. But otherwise, we do this on Thursday night, and we have a live chat room down there somewhere, and we put this out in recorded fashion later, so if you can't be here live, it's cool. So, with that, how is everybody? Alex, are you recovered? You made it home?
Yeah, I did. I had CES plague for about a day, and then I was more or less recovered, so I count myself lucky in that regard.
That, you know, I mean, that's badge of honor. You can't not get
pretty
sick.
Much. My theory is that most people just get the plague on the plane back because you're stuck for 4 or 5 hours with a bunch of people coming back from CES. Most of them are sick anyway. So if you don't, then you're probably doing something wrong.
You do sound a little weird.
Do I?
Yeah, a little bit.
more so than usual?
No, that's true. I was sick for most of the week last week, like at
you
the
were,
show.
Yeah.
Which, aside from how it kind of gets in the way of work and fun in Las Vegas, it's almost the way to do it, because I haven't felt that bad since. Like, I didn't get the really bad plague. I had that one day. Was it last Wednesday, Alex? I left the room for like 2 hours, and that was it.
Yeah. You were like, I don't know if I'm hungover or if I'm sick or whether I'm just lame.
Yeah, and about 10 in the morning, I decided I wasn't hungover. I was actually sick and just stayed in bed all day. I've never done that in, you know, 3 years of doing this job. I've never, like, been at an event where I just couldn't get up. So I think I was actually pretty... In fact, I went out. I had two dinners. I had an HTC, like, cocktail dinner thing. And then what else did I go to? I had another one.
Verizon.
Yeah, so I was at Verizon. And then... So I left the HTC thing early at like 8:30 and went back to the room and just started packing and was asleep by 11. It was lame. But we had Alex there. We had Andrew. We had both Andrews. We had Martonic and Vaca. And everybody just kicked ass. It was awesome. You guys did so well. Thank you so much. And it was a good show. I mean, we need to wrap up a little bit. And I want to hear from Jerry, because we haven't talked that much about what we saw. I mean, the consensus is... I think NVIDIA was kind of the big thing at CES, and I don't just say that because they, you know, paid for a half dozen Mobile Nations fans to go. It really was, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the big stuff for us was over after Sunday night, right, after NVIDIA's press conference.
Pretty much. I would count Sony in some of the big stuff as well. Their new phone, the Xperia Z, Xperia Z, or whatever you want to call it, is a big deal for them. They're finally up there in terms of specs with everyone else, and it just looks like a really, really nicely designed piece of hardware.
Right.
Who's Sony?
Oh, stop.
When I go to buy a phone, I don't see that name anywhere.
And that's the usual problem, right? Great phone, don't have it here. Or if we do, it gets just, God, what was that last Sony that was put out on AT&T? It was, you know, 10 months late.
TL. The TL wasn't too late, to be fair to Sony, but the one before it, the one we got last CES, was the Ion, and that took like 6 months to come out.
Yeah.
And it arrived with Gingerbread a week and a half before we got Jelly Bean. So, but, you know, to their credit, they've got 4.1 point something out on this new Xperia, and it's looking good. So there's probably a reason why they haven't announced carriers yet. Maybe they're still considering their options. You know, maybe they're going to go with something a little bit different if they're not happy with the way things have gone for them in the U.S. in the past. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times the U.S. carriers like to hold off and kind of announce their thing later, and I get that, especially closer to availability, right? So, I guess.
But everybody I've talked to that has touched one of the, especially the Z, I like saying that word, if they would sell that as is in the U.S., every single nerd would love it. That's what everyone's telling me.
The craziest thing for me,
all the people that love the specs and the speed, and they would just jump all over it. So Sony, sell it to me.
The display was beautiful, but the crazy thing for me is when we were playing with the camera, I have never seen like the preview, you know, the camera preview as smooth and just beautiful as that was. Like, never.
Rub it in, Bill.
I would agree. I think Sony's had some issues in the past year with their cameras. In 2011, their cameras were really good. They were at the top of the game, you know, equal with all the other top manufacturers. They kind of wavered a bit last year. There were some issues with noise, I think, and a lot of the Xperia T and Xperia S models. But the new one is completely new assembly, new lens, new sensor. It's XRS. Is the new term for it, and we've got some sample pictures up from CES and some sample video too, including HDR video, which actually looks really, really good.
Yeah, Alex did a really nice camera preview that, if you haven't seen it, we'll have a link in the show notes you need to go see. Really good stuff. So that's the question, is anyone going to get it here? As far as I can remember back in, you know, 3+ years of doing this, I think AT&T is the only carrier in the U.S. that has carried Sony. Outside the U.S., it's
only Verizon had the Xperia Play.
Are we going to count that?
But no.
Really? Oh. I'm just saying. You know, so we'll see. And again, will it get dumbed down by the time it hits here? I don't know. I hope not. I really hope not. But that's, you know, that's the breaks. So
you can't think if there was a deal in place. That CES would have been the place to announce it, right?
It's
an event in the U.S. They announce it, and then there's no...
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you got to wait till CTIA in a couple months, in May. So, although it's, you know, CTIA has been earlier too. It's hit and miss. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. That's why I wrote that piece. I mean, really, you can't read too terribly much into what doesn't get announced at CES, and look at it from the other side. The years that they have announced a whole bunch of stuff, when, you know, Verizon says, yeah, we have 6 phones coming, and then you don't get them till summer, right? So what good is that? And again, that's not always the case. Sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's 2, but I'd prefer they wait till availability. I think that's better. What about, I go back to NVIDIA, I guess, Jerry, because I really want to hear what you thought, just, and I hate that. God, I hate that so many people had to see this thing from the sidelines. The Project Shield, which, again, we don't know if that's going to be the final name, but this handheld gaming thing. Where do you stand on that?
Oh, I think it's an amazing thing. I'm a big believer that Android needs to be on all your little handheld, portable, embedded devices that usually run Linux or QNX today. Because Android's pre-built. It has a framework and an application API. Mm-hmm. People should just start using it. And Project Shield, I think that's a perfect way to use it. I especially like that they've got a regular Android mode you can switch to. And
it's not even a mode.
Other things.
Well, it's not even a mode. That's just what it is.
Mm. Yeah, the Shield UI is just an app.
Yeah, it doesn't.
There's a button on the controller for it, but it is just an app.
Right. It doesn't feel at all. And, you know, we'll have links here, but I got to play with it for a good half hour or so. I mean, it doesn't feel like you're using something with embedded Android or something weird. It feels like a handheld Android device or tiny, you know, 5-inch tablet type thing with controls.
Yeah, that's what I was. I think that's cool, instead of locking all that out,
right,
which they could have done. They could have, it boots up and it's only the NVIDIA,
right,
whatever it's going to be, interface. But instead they give you, you know, access to everything that's Android underneath it. And if they can find a way to weigh the cost with the desire, this thing could be huge. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants one, but everybody wants one for next to nothing, because we've seen, you know, phones and tablets go for next to nothing.
I guarantee you that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen, and it doesn't have to happen. You know, you've got to – I hear a lot of people talk about compared to the Vita.
Uh-huh.
One thing that Project Shield has going for it that the Vita's not is games aren't $29.99. They're $4.
and you've already bought a lot of them.
Yep. That's, so I think that I think it can do really well. And NVIDIA, they'll put the marketing behind it. I mean, they've done a really good job with that. So I am looking forward to finding out more this summer.
They're saying second quarter. So, I mean, by January, February, March, you know, April, May, June, by the end of June, by July, we're supposed to see these. I was talking to Brad Mullen from Engadget, and he and I are kind of on the same page. Like, yeah, it's probably going to push it. It would not surprise me at all if they have to push that back some. And that's just us talking. But I don't know. I mean, it's not that there was a lot that's unfinished. They said they were still working on the triggers and the buttons and getting the feel of those right. And I have no idea how long that takes to dial in. You know, some of the software was a little janky. I managed to crash it as they were they were showing me. We were playing, you know, so it'll... If you have the right NVIDIA graphics card in your desktop computer, you can actually play... I forget what game we were playing, but you know the computer was doing the heavy lifting, shooting it to the controller, to the shield, and that's how I was playing the game, but it was the computer that was actually doing all the work, right? So I closed the clamshell. I closed the screen. I said, so what happens here? And it totally like just freaked out the whole system. And I was like, really? Nobody had tried that yet? Like, oh, that's a good find, you know, and that's bug testing. That's good stuff. Like, you don't knock it for that in January. But it's like, really? Okay. So you got a few things to work on. I love the idea of the shield button taking you directly to Tegra Zone, because I've never been a big fan of Tegra Zone before. Because it's like, all right, here's this separate app store that does this, you know, has these other games, but there's no good way to get to it on an Android device. Like, it's just one other icon that's on the screen, and maybe you hit it, maybe you don't. But this dedicated button on the device is perfect. That's how it should be done.
Mm-hmm. So the way I kind of imagine it is like the big X button on the Xbox controller. Does it work like that? Is it a menu you can bring up over the top of games?
Or exactly.
Does it launch you out of what? Nope.
It takes you out of it into this kind of secondary menu system that's like, all right, here are your Tegra Zone games. Here is the option to play on the PC. I think there was a third thing. I need to go back and watch the video again. But yeah, it takes you to that. It's still on top of Android. Like it's not booting into something separately, right? I mean, this is running all Android stuff.
If I'm thinking of the right thing, it reminded me a lot of Steam for your desktop.
Right, and actually, that was the other thing. It gives you an option to launch Steam. So yeah, exactly. I'm curious how – I need to talk to them more because I'm curious how the PC thing works more. Like, what is that running? What is actually running
on the
on Shield when you're playing one of those PC games?
It'll just be it'll be a client for
something,
whatever connects to you know, the thing that connects to your PC when it's running Steam games.
Mm-hmm. Right, you're not going to find out much because that's the key. That's the big secret. They can't tell anybody how they're doing that with such low latency.
What else? Tegra 4, it's the next iteration. It's more powerful. They're going to have their own modem now. I mean,
and it fits in great with the other processors we saw announced. They all three have their own little niche, and NVIDIA with gaming support behind it, the Tegra 4 is just going to kick huge amounts of ass to play new great games.
So where do you stand on that versus the new Snapdragons, Jerry? Because we were talking about that a little bit on the Mobile Nations podcast we had. I forget which day it was at CES, but there's a lot of stuff there that was over our heads. So I'm interested to see what you hear, what you see about that. The two new chips.
If you go by on paper, the Snapdragon's just going to blow the new Tegra away. It's, you know, everything is going to be better, but when you consider software integration like NVIDIA does with game developers, games made especially for the Tegra are going to be, you know, unbeatable. You're not going to be able to look, you know, have anything that looks that good or plays that good on the new Qualcomm unless somebody from Qualcomm gets in with devs and say, hey, let's take advantage of all these multimedia extensions on the Snapdragon. Historically, Qualcomm hasn't done that. NVIDIA has, and that's your difference. If you don't play big games on your phone, you may be better off getting a Snapdragon. You in real life, I don't think you're going to see much of a difference from any of them.
Yeah, and I tell you, that's not to say Qualcomm's not doing interesting stuff. I had a meeting with them, had two meetings actually, last Tuesday, and they actually kind of opened me up to, the first meeting was about AR, augmented mm-hmm. reality, and normally I roll my eyes at that sort of thing, because I always see it like, okay, and a lot of the apps out there are crap, right? Like, you're in a city, right, and you point at stuff and it will pop up, hey, here's what this place is that's right in front of you that you could look at and see what it is. But you can use your phone, and like, I'm not going to do that, right? But the examples they showed me were some really good stuff for magazines. And again, it's not just point your phone at the magazine and it'll open a web page. It was, and I kind of hate to bring up Maxim just because of what it is, but one of the examples was, all right, you put the app at the cover of Maxim magazine, and the woman on the cover doesn't just open up like a web browser with a video. It's like video right there within the app, and it was really well done. There was another really cool one where he put a little mat down on the table, and it was a game, and you point the phone at the mat or at the table, and it recognizes the mat, and it pops up this little remote control car. So then you use your phone to control this remote control car that's racing around the table. So you can see it on the screen of the phone. So you see the table, you see the car. Really cool stuff. Another one that was, they're using in medical schools, I forget where. And it was a, like an autopsy table. And then it, you point it at the table and it pulls up a little three-dimensional, 3D fake body, and you can peel back the layers and explore and just really cool stuff. So that's not to say, like, because Qualcomm's not doing, these gaming consoles, that they're not working on things that are done specifically for their chipsets. I mean, some really interesting stuff going on behind the scenes that I wasn't even aware of. The other thing was like optical recognition. So it's the example, the demo they showed us was some Big Bird app where it's recognizing words. And then, adding pictures to them, and go watch the video. It was really cool. So
that was really cool. Yeah.
They're doing a lot of things that I wasn't aware of. So, and I'm sure we'll see them again in Barcelona.
And as those things merge more and more into our smartphones, we're going to have a big decision when it comes to buying one.
Mm-hmm.
These people, Qualcomm, Samsung, NVIDIA, they all want to differentiate from each other.
And it's not just the hardware, because they're doing this through software as well, because those are all Qualcomm. Right. SDKs and APIs and things that they're using, right? So they're working with the developers to come up with this stuff.
So it is a good time to be a smartphone nerd.
Really good time.
It is.
I think if you thought 2012 was good, I think 2013 is going to be that much better. And obviously the year after that. But I mean, we're still in this boom. I mean, the LTE kind of boondoggle of 2011. Has slowed down, absolutely. We're in good shape. Now, if we can just, get a handle on the oversized phones, we'll be okay.
I hear you. I'm not liking that.
6 inches for ZTE or Huawei or whoever.
Huawei. I think my problem with that is they don't really know why they're making a phone that's that big.
Right.
It's done purely for the sake of gimmickry, whereas you look at something like the Xperia Z or even the Droid DNA from late last year, and they're obviously really well-designed pieces of kit, and there's a lot that's been done on the manufacturing side to cut down on bezels and make it about as pocketable and about as usable as a 4.7, 4.8-inch phone.
Right. So I can't think of anything else at CES. You guys, everybody did great. Good show. I give us a solid B+A. I think we did pretty well. So next. Nobody went to jail this year, which is good. We've got Mobile World Congress coming up in a little more than a month, about a month and a week. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Alex will be there. Richard will probably be there. Dan Rubino from WP Central will be there. So that's always a big deal. And that's where we're expecting HTC stuff. I'm trying to think who else. Samsung sometimes does big things there.
Samsung tablets, probably, I think.
Yeah.
Sony generally announces the rest of their range, like the mid-range stuff.
Right.
I think LG has said they're going to have an Optimus G for Europe in March, so chances are that'll be there as well.
Yeah. So
I know it's too late, but I should have went. I could have been the entertainment director while you all went and looked at phones. Yeah, I got nothing.
All right, so off the show stuff that I feel like we've been talking about forever, because I think it's like the third podcast we've done. I want to talk some Nexus stuff. I've decided I was wrong. I had a little hissy fit yesterday after two steps, I guess. The first step was the AT&T Nexus 7, but it's not really an AT&T Nexus 7. It's if you buy an AT&T or if you buy a Nexus 7 and you can get it with an AT&T SIM card and then get a 2-year data plan with it, you get $100 off your bill, right? That's actually for any tablet with AT&T right now, by the way. So I think that got lost a little bit at the beginning. But then yesterday, 24 hours later, up on Google Play pops this, oh, by the way, you can get a Nexus 7 with a T-Mobile SIM. And that's when I kind of freaked out. I think I shouldn't have. I think I was wrong. Write this day down, Jerry. I kind of freaked out and I shouldn't have. Well, I mean, I see Nexus on Google Play, and I want to go back to the good old days. And Sasha Sagan slapped me around a little bit, I think, and that, you know, the good old days died with the Nexus One, and you know the idea of releasing these phones without any sort of carrier interference or deals or plans or whatever. And my thing was, I just wanted the Nexus 7 to just be there, and if they want to sell one with a cellular radio that you can put a SIM card in, cool, because it doesn't matter whether it's AT&T or whether it's T-Mobile, it's going to work with either one, right? So that's why I didn't like that first there was this AT&T thing. It's like, oh, God, here we go with another carrier deal. And, oh, God, now we have to have a separate listing for T-Mobile. But I think they're right. I think everybody's right. I need to get over that because that's actually better for the consumers. You know, because when my mom says, well, I have AT&T, can I use my, you know, SIM card in this or whatever?
I would agree with that if
idealism aside.
Big blinking 10-point text that says, do not sign a contract. Do not be an idiot. You just paid full price for a device.
Right.
That's what gets me. And, you know, I'm okay with people flipping out over that because if my mom didn't have me around and she bought one, she'd walk into the AT&T store and she'd sign up for $49 a month for 2 years and think that's what she had to do.
Yeah. For a tablet that... You know, I keep looking at these things like, all right, I paid $200 for something. If I sign a 2-year contract, I mean, that's like, what, $10 a month? It's
more than the price of the tablet.
Yeah. I mean, I want a higher, it's almost like CPMs or something, right? Like, you know, I want to get more per month out of this tablet than $10, right? I want you know, like a $50, you know, worth per month than 10. And that's how I see it. So that's kind of why I freaked out. You know, I still think I was wrong. And I still think the Nexus 7, you know, once they get the software stuff figured out, which needs to be soon, by the way, it's driving me nuts. You know, it's still the best deal for a 7-inch tablet you can get. I can't wait till the next one.
Don't say that.
Well, that kind of leads me into the next thing. God, there have been these ridiculous just rumor stories, and I'm trying to take a deep breath and like not freak out at all these stories, because I think the vast majority of you guys out there listening to this and reading the site can see through it, but I still see a lot of people who don't. I mean, the one about the LG press conference, where the guy supposedly said that, oh yeah, no, we've got a great relationship with Google. We can't wait to start making the next stuff right now. Just hang on. Wait till Mobile World Congress. And that's really not what he said at all.
Yeah, I was there. That's not what he said.
Yeah, you were there. I watched it later. And it's like, no, he's like, we love Google. Google's awesome. They let us make this. Thanks, Google. And, you know, hey, we're going to have more stuff at MWC. Cool. Like, you know, military speak over the radio. Break. You know, you're talking about something else now. And we're going to have more stuff at Mobile World Congress. And some, you know, International Business Times story, which sounds far more official than it was, especially when you realize it was written by Jurnatic, which is basically this a filler agency that will just create content for you to put somewhere, whether it's a newspaper or a website. Like, this was not a well thought out story. Anyone who watched this would completely understand. They did not say new Nexus. There's no Nexus 5 coming next month, guys. I tell you what, if there is a Nexus 5 in February, I will eat my Nexus 4. How about that?
The internet made it sound like it was the Hitler meme with the guy beating on his desk saying, "We are done, we are done."
You know, and it's
that just shows how, you know, people's perceptions of the relationships between these companies, and they just have no clue what's going on, really. And there's a story today from actually a couple of stories yesterday and today. Right. One from LG in Korea saying that on their side, that we're not, you know, they're having no problems making Nexus 4s. Production's going just fine. Another story today from LG Mobile France, an interview talking with a French publication saying, okay, there have been some issues. Either they or Google underestimated demand through the Play Store. That's why there have been some issues. But the relationship with Google is great, and they're going to start making more. And they're actually ramping up production.
They better not have an issue making it, because except for
their LG.
except for, you know, slight design differences, it's the Optimus G. It is the exact same phone. I've run out of ways to say that.
You know what I think the whole thing is whoever at Google decided how many they needed to have made in advance,
right,
just didn't take into account that so many people would want a $300 phone.
Well, that's exactly what happened. If you read the thing, an interview today, that's what they said happened, and it makes perfect sense.
And it's the only thing that makes sense. If you really think about it, if there are supply chain problems, LG's not going to admit it. Google's not going to admit it. Nobody's going to say anything. These little blurbs that are getting bounced around the internet is just somebody heard something the way they wanted to hear it, so they make it into something that it's not. And Google just didn't order enough. LG can't, you know, wiggle their nose and squeeze out Nexus 4s on demand. It takes a few months to build them.
Now, I'm going to bring up Jerry's conspiracy theory, and he probably doesn't want me to do it, but I'm going to do it for the sake of saying I don't think he's right now. And Jerry might well have come away from this too. At some point, Jerry, you said, well, maybe they're sitting on it for a little while to get it in stock to the T-Mobile stores as T-Mobile starts rolling out LTE. But I don't think that's the case.
I still think there's something there.
You do or you don't?
I do, but I think it has more to do with the factory image and the AOSP source code tree and the 4.2.2 update.
And that's and there's definitely weirdness in there still somewhere, and we have no idea what it is.
The image still isn't up there, is it? And we're still waiting on, I think we'll still be waiting on 4.2.2 before that reappears.
But you're correct. At one time, I did consider that maybe they're holding it back, make one announcement, and here it is with T-Mobile LTE.
It's not a bad conspiracy theory. I think it's good. But
my problem with that is they still haven't put anything through the FCC to license LTE on it yet.
Right. And
I've been checking for that, because that's an important thing when that eventually goes up, if it goes up.
Right.
And that's not there yet. So.
And it has to.
Yeah.
Before it can happen, it has to.
I still think we're going to see an LTE version of this at some point. Would not surprise me at all. And remember,
agree with you.
Yeah, we saw WiMAX versions of the Galaxy original Nexus S, right? I mean, that came out months after the original. So that's stranger things.
We might see, an international LTE version of this at MWC. That wouldn't be impossible, I think.
But, you know, they could easily make in one version that's international LTE and T-Mobile's LTE, and put both of our conspiracy theories together into one huge conspiracy theory.
Well, the hardware out there right now, in theory, will work on T-Mobile's frequencies, right? It's band 4. People have already had, I think the Xperia Z is the LTE version of that is hexaband, I think 6-band LTE for Europe. So it's just another chip you've got to throw in there and some tweaking to do the radios.
Do you guys appreciate how much of a mess this LTE thing's going to be worldwide?
Yep.
It's going to be worse than just GSM freaks.
Oh, a lot worse.
Oh, man.
And just the fact you need six bands to get it to work everywhere in Europe is kind of a mess right now. You know, the phones that are being released.
The worst thing I think that's going to happen out of it is because of how successful Samsung was by calling seven different phones with the same name.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to end up with 11 different models, all have different SKUs. They're all going to be named the same, look the same, which is great for accessory makers, but so hard for people trying to help other people set up their phones on the internet.
Right.
Yeah, actually, some of this goes back to what NVIDIA was talking about with their new radio. And without getting too technical, basically, it's the new radio they have in Tegra 4 is programmable in the same way that a GPU yep. is.
By software.
So if you imagine all the different kinds of all the different frequencies that these need to run at, it isn't too big of a leap to think that maybe these new kinds of radios might help out with all these different frequencies that need to be juggled around to get LTE working between different territories.
And right before CES, I put something up on the site late at night. It caught my eye. There's an antenna maker that's making a 12-band antenna.
Yeah.
So
and you're going to need that 12-band antenna if you want global LTE because it's a mess.
Right. Well, not even that. If you would want to make one phone that ran on LTE on every carrier in the United States, you need 10 different bands in your antenna. It's just crazy, and it's going to get worse.
Renee says roaming agreements as well. And yeah. That's something I'm still not sure how that works.
Well,
you know, whether any are actually in place yet.
Yeah, I mean... All
right, I mean, in theory, it's just GSM, right? If you're on a GSM carrier that has LTE, you're roaming another country that has LTE. If the bands are all there, in theory, it should just work. But I don't know how a lot of the carriers maybe will be blocking things for roaming customers. I'm not sure if they can do that. I imagine they will be able to.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many pieces that have to fit together just right for this stuff, right? And that's where we got ourselves in trouble earlier. Was not understanding them all, and I think we have a better grasp on them now. I mean, you've got the hardware on the phone, you've got the frequencies flying through the air, and your phone has to be able to pick those up. And then, especially for looking at global things, if I want to take this AT&T LTE phone to Europe, does it have all that stuff? Does it have the right can it pick up the right frequencies? And then, without popping in a new SIM. Which might or might not work, I guess. Is there going to be a roaming agreement? Ugh, it's just so much stuff that has to fit into one place. And really, it just comes down to these stories out there, BS. There's no Nexus 5.
Google can save us.
Yeah, how so?
Google could just blanket the world with fiber and then 802.11ac Wi-Fi free yes. for everybody.
Like 10 years, that's going to be the way it is. We're going to you remember back in my day, how nothing worked? Is that all the Nexus stuff we need? So, I mean, just if the story sounds too good to be true right now, remember the Nexus 4 has only been out, guys, for a little more than 2 months. November, what, 13th?
Yeah, the other side of it is... Phones don't just appear out of thin air. If the Nexus 5 is going to be coming out next month, that means it will have been in development for at least a year before that.
Yeah. No, it's not.
That's the Motorola X.
Stop it.
It's coming then. I saw it on the internet.
Stop it. That's all I want to say about Nexus stuff. What else? Hey, Samsung started pushing fixes for that... processor malware exploit thing that we talked about about a month
good.
Ago.
Don't forget my S2, Samsung. I need a new browser, baby.
That was I think a month for patching that officially is pretty good.
Yeah. I think they did a good job on that. It's nice that they realized how important it was.
Right. And that the carriers let them they did whatever had to be done, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But a month is good. A month is good turnaround time. Obviously, quicker is better.
Not necessarily. They need enough time to make sure it's good. You don't want to introduce something worse.
Right.
So I think a month was really good timing. Gave them enough time to test it well.
Yeah.
I think in the meantime, we haven't seen any malware No. That's taking no. advantage of this, have we? So
funny how that works, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
So I caused a little trouble today.
You?
I said the C word out loud. I said carbon.
Oh.
I did. It's back. Sort of. For you guys listening at home, I'm smiling when I say this. So I want to say this just for the sake of saying it, right? The carbon Android Twitter client apparently is not dead. It had disappeared for a while. It was, I still remember waking up in Korea when I was there in September and seeing a story on the site. And remember, I'm like 14 hours ahead of all you guys. And I'm like, what the hell? Just have carbon's coming out in a couple days, huh? Cool, because it was coming out last month and it didn't. And I mean, we've been accused of being like carbon's biggest champion, but I don't think we've said anything, you know, in toward. It's just developer says it's coming, and it never came, and then disappeared. Right? And I get people's disappointment. So today, the carbon Android Twitter account pipes up. Hey, we're back. We picked the project back up, you know, a couple weeks before Christmas. And you guys, all right, look, we're all friends here, right? I'm not going to put this on the blog. I'm not even going to put it in the forums, but I'm going to say it on the podcast. The developer is working on it. You know, I've talked to them. I've talked to Dots and Lines, and I have, let's drop my new fuel band. I hate to sound like I'm serving as their PR arm, because I kind of do, but I really don't mean to. I mean, they're working on it. They have all intentions, I believe, of putting it out.
Well, they should. It's an incredibly well-done application.
I think I let you play with it a little bit, didn't I? Even though I wasn't supposed to show it to anybody. Slay,
oh, well, there's other places you can get it. It's not like, you know, anybody that really wants to know how it is can find out how it is.
Sure.
But it's so well done that it needs to be released. It deserves it.
I get that people feel burned. And I was having some really interesting discussions on Google Plus today. I get that people feel burned because the developer keeps saying that it's coming, it's days away, and then it doesn't come and you don't hear anything. Like, that's just bad PR. That's not good. I think he understands that. Mm-hmm. I really do. You know, and you live and learn, and God knows we've made our own mistakes publicly. My thing is, especially with the way that Twitter is handling third-party apps now and effectively mm-hmm. limiting mm-hmm. them, I think it makes it that much more important to have good ones out there, because at some point, you're not going to be able to, you know, and this is theoretical stuff, and we're not in dire emergency mode yet, but at some point, you're not going to be able to have any more users on Plume or on Falcon. Like, there will be a ceiling, you know, for anybody whose app is currently out there now. It's going to be, you know, double the current amount of users they have at the time of these new API rules that go in effect in March. And for anything after that, it's 100,000, right? So there are going to be these hard ceilings, and Twitter's not going to budge on that. So it's important to have more options out there, I think, and to have good ones. And, you know, I've used Carbon and Beta, and I think it's changed a decent amount since then. It's been a long time since I used it. So that's why I'm excited about it. That's why, you know, today when, you know, we're the only ones who've done a post on it, and I get that, you know, why other people would be a little shy to do so. But you know, this is a good developer. It's a developer we know. So I hope that that when it does come out, you know, you give it a shot, that people give it a shot. I'm going to try it. And you know what? If it doesn't work for me, I'm going to try something else. It's been a long time since I used it. My needs might have changed too.
Yep.
But that was my point. And people are taking it, you know, very personally. You know, screw them. They screwed us over. Well, nobody screwed you over. You never got to use it. You know, I get the disappointment. And I get that, you know, you feel like we got trolled. You didn't get trolled. You just, you know, somebody got a little ahead of themselves. It happens. Lord knows I've done it.
Well, it's not like the guy doing everything he can to not put it out there just to screw with everyone.
Yeah, and we
talked. They've never come out and said anything, but I think anybody that listens to this podcast and pays attention knows that Twitter is screwing everyone, including this guy.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And it wasn't just Twitter. It was right. I mean, we've talked about it. I mentioned it a few podcasts ago. You know, it was you know, not being able to have, you know, a paid account from the country where he's at, and, you know, things like that. So there are a lot of things that went into this. But I just hate seeing people take it so personally and get so up in arms about this stuff. I mean, A, they're apps, right? B, they're, you know, $2 and $3 Twitter apps. C, this one was going to be free. You know, that was already out there. So I just really hate it when people get down on devs. There's so many crappy apps out there. And God, I've seen a lot of crappy apps again this week. Yeah, I just hate to see people, you know, actually working hard on them and then getting crap for it.
And they do. Yeah. They do. Anybody that's done any developing for a living can tell you it's a long, boring, difficult day that gives you a headache when it's done and you don't get near the appreciation that you deserve.
Yeah. So that was my thing, you know. And if it doesn't come out, I'll be disappointed too. I'll probably be a little mad. I might feel a little used. I think it's coming out this time, though. I really do.
I hope so. I hope even if, you know, he runs out of tokens really quickly and, you know, not as many people can use it as they want to.
That's a good problem to have.
I want people to be able to say, wow, look how good the official Twitter app could look.
Right.
This guy's done excellent work. And then the next project he works on that may not be limited by tokens, people are going to remember how great his stuff was.
Right. Any other apps you guys are using that are cool? I've been playing Load Runner today. Load Runner Classic came out. It's like $3, which is a little pricey for an 8-bit app. And Dieter rightfully pointed out this morning, it's a 24 megabyte app for something it used to be, you know, like 64K. It's a little ridiculous, but I don't know. I mean, it's fun. The controls are a little janky, but it's cool. You guys playing anything good?
I've been playing Super Monsters 8 My Condo.
Really?
I can't say it's good because it's just absolutely insane, but I am hooked. Put a set of headphones on at night and turn it up loud and just go insane. It's like a Japanese game show right on your phone. It's awesome.
Hey, right. Alex, didn't you finally get an Ingress code?
Or I have one somewhere. I haven't actually started using it yet, though.
Oh.
Same way I was going to mention on the app front, though, was Chrome Beta.
Yes.
Came out last week, kind of in the middle of CES, and maybe got lost a little bit in some of the news we had.
And they've updated it a couple times now with a bunch of new, you know, features and fixes and stuff, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's had one major update already, and it's if you look at the version numbers, it's 7 versions ahead of the stable version of Chrome. So a lot of new, I think HTML5 stuff has gone into that.
Yeah.
All of the sort of subtle lag that's in the stable Chrome isn't quite there. It's been improved in some areas, a little bit of jankiness in other areas, and a lot of it seems to be hardware dependent.
Mm.
So it seems to work pretty well on Nexus 4, a lot of Samsung Exynos devices. On others, like the Nexus 7 is maybe a bit janky with pinch to zoom. But it's getting there.
Man, I hesitate to use any new app on the Nexus 7 right now because it's still just so something's weird with it. And you know, maybe this 4.2.2 update that's coming eventually. We'll fix it. I don't know. But, I mean, there's still something weird. And I'm not the only one.
I have been looking at that ever since. Well, because I have to be honest. You hear from every corner of the internet.
Sure.
Oh, something's wrong with my Nexus 7. It's laggy. You just can't believe that every time.
Right.
You don't know what these people are doing because you don't know these people. But I know you. And if you tell me you have looked at this, I believe you when you say that. But your Nexus 7 lags doing the same things that my Nexus 7 does and doesn't lag. There is something different in there that just is driving me crazy.
Yeah.
Something that you're doing that I'm not, or something that I'm doing and you're not. And if we could figure out what that is, we could make a whole lot of people really, really happy.
I don't know if we covered this on an earlier podcast. I forget exactly when it cropped up, but there was an app a few weeks back that appeared. I think it was called Cedar. That supposedly messed.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked about that.
Yeah, it's a root out. The way it works is, in theory, one way of generating random numbers is faster than another way of generating random numbers in Linux. And I'm dumbing down.
Hang on, back
lot,
up. Back up. So there's basically this section of your system that has this storage of randomness in it, right?
Yeah.
So if any app needs to pull some.
And Android,
supposedly, it was running out of random numbers on the Nexus 7, and this app, every second or so, piped in fresh random numbers from this other area of the software.
Right.
You know, people would install this and they would see performance increase, and there was a performance increase there. I did it on mine and it was plain to see it was running faster. But the reason why it was running faster is because this thing was ticking over every second. It was stopping the power management from kicking in, right, and it was making the CPU run at full speed all the time.
Yep. Which it's really not supposed to do.
So it wasn't quite a placebo, but it was making it faster in a bad way, because if the CPU runs at full speed all the time, it's going to kill the battery.
And this is not just Alex and me and Phil.
No.
Thinking this, no. Android engineers have verified that's what's going on.
Yeah, that's not,
so.
Yeah, and made a lot of fun of it.
I never want to knock a developer, but don't spend $2 for that app.
Yeah,
don't.
Please. All right, we got a whole bunch of voicemails too. We have 8 voicemails, guys. We got a lot of voicemails, and I promised, like the last 2 podcasts, we'd catch up. So, can we just do voicemails the rest of the night?
Let's do voicemails the rest of the night.
Cool. Renee, are you ready to do voicemails the rest of the night? Well, as soon as Renee is ready, we will start with... Who are we starting with? Start with Andrew.
There's so many, it's taking me a second to find that name.
Hello, this is Andrew, a.k.a. Fat Bruce, from the Android Central site. I am actually... I've been wondering for a long time how I can stream my media, like videos, through my LAN network onto like my Xbox and whatnot, and I was wondering what app or program can do that for my tablet. I have an Nexus 7. I know that VLC can, but there's a combination of me being lazy and just all the steps involved in doing that. I didn't know if you guys knew of a simpler way to achieve that. And also, I wanted to say that since I work for a certain electronics retailer in the cell phone department, and I wanted to say that thank you guys, because you guys make me look good. All right. Thanks very much, guys. Happy month.
Hang on. What does that mean? We make him look good.
Maybe. I don't know.
Does that
mean we're so pretty?
Does that mean we're dumbasses?
Or we're not pretty.
I think we just got burned.
I think we did. Well, I was going to answer your question, Andrew, and suggest you try the Arcos player app. Unless you're making fun of us, in which case, ignore that. And I'm not going to tell you what app to use. Anyway. Make him look good. You guys got any suggestions?
No, because nobody wants to do it the way I do it. Trust me.
No. How are you doing it?
I have...
It involves the server, doesn't it? It involves the server.
Yes, it involves a server and a separate, LAN plug on the back of my router and a USB external hard drive.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't want to know. No, there's that Arcos app that's out there that's supposed to be really good, so give that a shot. Yeah, Arcos, who would have thought it? All right, let's do Angus.
Hi, this is Angus. I think I've been reading with Phil's rage about the issues surrounding Nexus 7. I thought now would be a good time to chat about something I've been meaning to ask you guys about. When people have been talking about the performance issues of the Nexus 7 and any lag, which I've experienced on both my Nexus 7, almost no one seems to mention the fact that the memory chips and the memory controllers are, well, just plain crap. The only place I've read about this is at your friends over at Nantech. And yes, admittedly, there can sometimes be brain crushing in their technical analysis. But this was the same reason why I didn't get the Transformer Infinity, which I was looking forward to for months. The I/O of these devices is terrible, and no amount of software updates, hacks, or custom ROM will get around a memory chip that's about as good as a basic USB flash drive. And there are many folks over on XDA and Anantech who have measured the I/O. The Nexus 7 performs orders of magnitude worse than my old Galaxy Nexus. So now I'm on my Nexus 4, it becomes even more annoying. In short, I'd like to ask that the people remember that some devices perform badly with things like lag, it may not be the software or the CPU that people like to focus on. Sometimes the areas where companies cut corners are the ones which are not the headline features, but will still become the bottleneck, and some of viewers may need to inform people of it. But to finish on a positive note, I recently started using Falcon Pro. And I don't know what voodoo they sprinkled on it, but it puts every other app I've used to shame for smoothness and absence of any lag. Even the very initial delay that many apps suffer from, it doesn't even have that. Anyway, many thanks for informing the masses and not being another sensationalist news outlet. Keep up the great work. This is Angus from the UK.
So this is something that Kevin O'Quinn was talking about. I think he has the same theory about why a lot of Tegra 3 devices seem to be a bit laggier than the competition.
Mm-hmm.
To do with NAND and to do with flash storage that's used and controls and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's hardware and then there's software, and it all has to work well together or it doesn't work well at all. And it's, there's a dance going on there.
So the NAND is slower. It's still faster than the screen's going to redraw. Come to my house and tell me why mine runs fine. That's all I say to these conspiracy guys. Come over to West Virginia. I'll get you drunk as hell. You'll have a grand old time at the end. You're going to tell me why mine runs good if the hardware is crap, I think is the word that was used.
I think because Jerry needs to drink with guys named Angus more often. I'm just saying. For you guys in the chat room freaking out, yes, we do screen these, and Angus is awesome, especially if you listen to the last 15 seconds where he said how awesome we were. So... Come on, guys. All right. No, that was very good. How about, hey, Fernando's back.
Hey, guys. This is Fernando again. Calling for the Android Central podcast. And I was listening to your podcast 120, and you guys were talking about Bluetooth, how horrible Bluetooth audio is, streaming audio. And I want to ask you guys, have you guys heard of something called AptX? It's supposed to be the next technology to stream wirelessly music over the air. I think it provides 4 times the bandwidth over Bluetooth. And I heard a lot of people say that they cannot tell between wired sound and AptX sound. So I don't know if you guys heard about it. I think some phones support it. I know they get the 1X supports it. And the Galaxy S3, Galaxy Note 2, and I don't know if the iPhone 5 supports it, but just letting you know, guys, it's called AptX. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Bye-bye. Take care.
Yeah, it's AptX. I'm going to get into non-fill territory here pretty quick with it. But yeah, it's a codec and a relatively newer one for phones, right? It's not a new codec, but...
Yep.
But you're seeing it in newer phones rather than older ones, and it makes things sound better. So if you can get it.
Right. It's I do believe the 1X and the Galaxy S3 both support it. I could be wrong. Chat room, help me. But you're finding peripherals that support it.
Right.
I gave up. I looked for 5 minutes and said, "Oh, screw this. There just aren't any yet." But I'm looking forward to trying it when I can find something that uses it.
Yeah, I mean, the short answer to that is if you can get it. Will it work with everything you have? We'll see. But, look out for it by all means. Okay, let's do George.
Hey, this is George. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast, and I have a question about the Nexus 4 supplies. Not worrying about all those rumors about spicier Nexuses or anything like that. But what really is bothering me is I'm calling all the T-Mobile stores here in the Las Vegas Valley. Can't find any. I'm checking the Play Store every day. Can't find anything. And what bothers me is when I go to T-Mobile's website, not only is it sold out, but they're selling it at $500 plus. Craigslist, people are selling it $500 plus. And it just bothers me that the Google store is selling it at this low price, but it's not available. And all these other people are selling it at a bunch higher prices. So just curious what your guys' thoughts were with that. Thank you. Bye.
Welcome to...
So the higher price is the real price. The Play Store is subsidized by Google. It's not... It's different to the Nexus 7. The N7 is just a cheap tablet. The Nexus 4 is just a regular price smartphone, and Google's eating some of the costs on the Play Store.
Jerry apparently disagrees.
But the lady, the mobile director for LG in France, didn't she mention that LG is still making a profit at the price it's sold in the Play Store?
She didn't. Well, I'm sure LG is, but I'm sure Google isn't. I mean, what she actually said was that they have an agreement with Google to sell it at a really attractive price point. And that's kind of a roundabout way of saying that Google's probably making either just breaking even or making a small loss on the devices sold in the Play Store.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when you buy it from LG, it's the full price. It's £400 or €500 or whatever.
Gotcha. I thought I misunderstood what you said before. Okay. We're all on the same page for once.
Cool.
But you know what? If I couldn't have got one from the Play Store, hell yeah, I'd have paid somebody on Craigslist $450 for it. It's hell of a damn phone.
It's still worth it. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel weird. I had six. I had six Nexus 4s here at one point a couple of weeks ago when we were doing that contest, and that last batch got shipped out, and now I'm down to two. I kind of miss them, just having them here. I felt awesome. I just wanted to tell you all that.
You've been selling them on Craigslist for $550.
Not quite. I had to send one down to our store guys. They didn't even have one yet. So, how about that? All right, let's
move. Just got them a dummy.
I know. Let's move on to Joel.
Hi, this message is for the Android Central podcast. This is Joel. Or Kill for Food in the forum. I hope everyone had a great holiday, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that. Over the holidays, I became the proud owner of a Nexus 7, 32GB. I'm not rooted. And I had a question regarding the update to 4.2. I've been having problems with it ever since I got the device. I've been trying to update. And it just keeps failing. You get the little Android that's laying down like a dead with the red exclamation point over it. I've searched around the forums quite a bit, and I haven't been able to find like a really easy solution to the problem. I know a lot of people say you have to like, you know, wipe the device, and I have a lot of content on there already, and I don't really want to do that. So I'm hoping there's a better way. Also, I heard that Phil. I was looking around the forums, and you had said that you were thinking about going back to 4.1.2 or whatever, and that it wasn't worth it to update. Do you feel the same way about that, or you know, have you decided to stick with that update? Let me know. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Hmm. All right. So I'm actually still running 4.2. What are we on 4.2.1 on my Nexus 7? But. Mm-hmm. I probably would have gone back. If I were a normal person, I probably would have gone back. The only reason I haven't is because I'm going to need to be able to tell what the difference is whenever 4.2.2 hits. Right. So that's why I've still got it on there. Otherwise, I might well have gone back because it really is that slow for me. And if I had more time and I wasn't busy, I should do this anyway. It's just pop it back on there and see if there's a difference, and then, you know, can flash back if I really need everything back right away. I don't know, Jerry, what do you think?
I mean, if he hasn't rooted it, his tablet hasn't done anything to it, the only thing I can suggest is what he doesn't want to hear. Wipe it back to factory settings. If it still won't update, you have to return it.
Yeah.
There's something that you didn't do that's causing it not to work. Would it could be a software conflict.
Would reflashing recovery fix that, maybe?
Well, I mean, he could just download the factory image and flash all that.
Right.
But that's not something a consumer should have to do.
Absolutely.
I'm to the point now where I recommend send it back to Google. That way they have a better idea of how much quality control they need to investigate in, and the consumer gets the easy way out, and that is a new tablet in their hands that just works.
True.
But, okay, to be fair, though, if you want to be enterprising, you can get in the forums and look and see how to flash the factory images yourself. Maybe you don't want to go through the hassle of shipping it back.
Which it's I still not recommend. That difficult. I mean, I think people should learn how to do that anyway, because it's pretty easy and it's nice, like basic stuff to know how to do, right? Like if you're reading our site, you know.
If you want to eventually learn to mess with your tablet, yes, you need to learn how to do all that.
Yeah.
And it is. It's not difficult. It's the most difficult thing is assembling all the parts that you need.
Right. My most difficult thing, and actually, it's pretty easy. with these apps on the Mac, because I use Pathfinder for like file management, because you know it's Mac's not as good as Windows is for keeping things organized like that. So I can I don't even have to move files to the proper folders, right? I just pull up the terminal, I copy the location of the image, and then say, all right, you know, fastboot flash, and then here's where that image is. So I don't have to move it to the fastboot folder or do anything crazy, and because I can actually copy the location easier than I could in Windows. I mean, it's just weird stuff like that. But I mean, if you don't mind getting into this stuff a little bit yourself, I highly recommend just learning how to do something like that, because those are like the basic nuts and bolts of, I call it Android hacking. It's not really hacking, but you know, that's just real basic stuff that will, you know, save you from asking Jerry over and over, how do I do this? Mm-hmm. Until you forget to, you know, turn on USB debugging, and then he looks at you funny and says, really?
All right.
You run this website? Really?
It's all right.
I'm not saying that happened. I'm saying it, you know, more than 10 times.
It's always great when I send a little message to Phil that's something absolutely simple that he should knows he should have done, and I get no response for 10 minutes.
It's a good thing I don't have the podcast window open, because I don't want to see Alex's face right now. All right, let's go on to Richard.
Hi, my name is Richard. Hey, Phil. Since you got, like, you know, bashed on and had to give out a whole bunch of free stuff, you know, a couple weeks ago, I had an idea for you. Why don't you have Jerry grab the top three low-end phones on prepaid carriers and see which one is the best one? I'm sure our audience and your audience would like to know. So, you know, just a little payback good once in a while. Hey, you guys do a great job. Thanks a lot.
I think Jerry's going to sing the praises of the HTC One SV right now.
Oh, yeah. If you are somewhere where you can get Cricket service, and that's the big drawback to it, it's a great phone. Even LTE aside, because I think there's only like 9 people on Cricket in the world that can even use LTE. But forget that. Just 3G, it's a nicer phone than my 1X.
Really?
And yes, really, it's better built. It's amazing. And what we call low end is almost the same internals as the Galaxy S3. It's not low end unless you compare it to stuff that's just now coming out. So,
I think low end also includes the screen and the software, because right. It's ICS and it's running 480x800 screen.
The screen is, you know, I was telling Kevin O'Quinn, the screen doesn't really bother me when I use it. If I get close to my face, I can see the jaggies because the resolution's low. But what did bother me is knowing that resolution was low. If I had no idea and didn't know and didn't look it up, I probably would have been okay with it. But it does. It has, what is that, QVGA or WVGA?
It's WXD,
WVGA, I think.
Oh, is that all it is?
800.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not QHD.
They had put a QHD. Nope.
Huh.
And they should have. Because the screen itself is amazing. It's the same thin, you know, no air gap display that's in all the other One devices. So HTC did an incredible job with it. And
yeah,
quite frankly, you're amazed that it's on Cricket. I hate to say that. No offense, people at Cricket, but I'm amazed you got that phone for your network.
I got to their little booth at Pepcom or Showstoppers, whichever event it was, and I'm like telling them about the phone. They're like, really? You know about our phone? Yeah. I heard a little bit about it. It's a good phone. I didn't realize the screen was that low.
It's got me really kind of excited for what is next from HTC. If this is what they're doing at the low end, what's right. the next big thing, the M7? How's that going to compare?
Exactly. Like when this is your bad phone. Yeah, okay, yeah. All right, so the 1VX is QHD. So the 1SV
is... 1VX is QHD.
Okay.
This one has the same exact panel, but the resolution's different.
Man, I'm not even sure I noticed. I mean, I didn't use it for that long.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a very good thing. All right, we're in the home stretch. We got two more. First up is Zach.
Hey guys, this is Zach. I'm Zach AVM on the forums. All right, this is I love Google Plus with the exception of one issue I'm having. It's my What's Hot feed. I mostly get awesome stuff, but I also seem to get some very one-sided political posts. I don't want to make this question political, but I am a conservative and these posts are always liberal. I don't want to believe Google is exercising an agenda, but I also don't know why this started or how to get rid of it. My only option seems to be to turn off the What's Hot altogether, which I don't want to do. So any thoughts on what's happening or how it might be resolved? My second question is this. A few weeks back, Jerry made a post on the Nexus 4 arguing the cloud storage negates the need for local storage, or at least that much of it. Can you explain how this works for large files with cloud storage, primarily in media like movies? Is there a proper way to set up files so they can be streamed and not have to download the entire thing? See it as a big problem if you have to download an entire large file every time you want to use it. Also, in the previous podcast, you mentioned about having an encrypted folder. This is Jerry who mentioned that. I was wondering if you might explain your method on how you did that. Thanks. Bye.
I can't even find the What's Hot. See, and actually, let me back up. Don't ever apologize for, you know, being a conservative and for, you know, worrying about that stuff, because, you know, frankly, it doesn't matter, right? You like what you like, and that's absolutely fine. I can't find the What's Hot thing anymore. I remember it, and I remember it.
You probably have it dialed way back.
I don't even, well, I mean, I was looking around today trying to find where to dial it back up, and I can't even find that.
Yeah, there should be a setting somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There is. It's, God, I can't even remember. Let me look real quick.
I mean, it's been a long time, and I remember it in previous versions of the app, and I'm looking at the desktop settings right now, too. I have to imagine that, and this goes back to perception. I think, I mean, this goes back to old newspaper stuff, right? Like, if, you know, both sides are saying you're doing a bad job, you're probably doing okay. Take an honest look at it, and I'm not saying you're wrong, Zach, but take an honest look at it and wonder if maybe you're not just a little more sensitive to what you're seeing, and maybe it's not quite as unbalanced as you think. I really don't think...
What? It is. I'm a liberal. Yeah? I mean, they don't come much more liberal than me.
You're right.
And it is extremely one-sided and unbalanced, because people that want to talk about it are attracted to it. The What's Hot, I mean, Google doesn't decide it. It's based on interaction
right. From
other people.
So it's not unbalanced because of anything Google's doing. It's unbalanced because that's what the people who are using Google Plus are talking about. And maybe you're right. Just in the minority,
yeah.
Zach. Sorry.
And what I would recommend to do, Zach, is go into Google Plus. When you get What's Hot from somebody like me that says everybody should have health care and blah, 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 all this crap you don't want to hear, mute me. And you will never see my What's Hot nonsense. And it's okay that it's nonsense to you. Just like Phil said, mute the person that's spewing the nonsense you don't want to hear, and it'll never pop back in. I can't think of any other way to do it.
I really can't find it anymore. Like, I remember it, and I remember getting the hell off of there. But, I wonder if...
Now, what else? He wanted me to...
Okay, go to plus.google.com/hot, and there is a slider there. You can control how much of it you see.
Well, now I want to see what's hot. Hang on. It's probably going to be all Lance Armstrong stuff.
Yes, it's Lance Armstrong.
Interior design. What? George Takei. Linus.
Yeah, he's always there.
NASA. Huh. I'm going to have to check this out more often and just see. What the hell is that? Now I remember why I got rid of this. Politics had nothing to do with it. This is just crap. I enjoy a good political discussion with people I don't agree with. This is just bad stuff. What the hell? I'm seeing like bad greeting cards and... All right, there's some cool pictures. I don't know. Whatever. This is really horrible radio, but all right. Alex found your answer. plus.google.com/hot. Does that redirect you to Explore, I guess? But then it's shown.
Yeah, it does. It redirects you. Okay. Yeah, so it's plus.google.com/explore, I guess, is the actual address. But there's this site is there, both locations.
I tell you, from what I'm seeing right now, I would rather see political stuff I don't agree with than the crap that's on there right now. So
there is a way to turn it all the way off, the way to the left, or just mute it completely.
So the other question was regarding, the large files, Jerry, and what you're doing.
That's right. Streaming is the answer to no storage on your device. And to me, that doesn't mean downloading large files ever. I stream them. So I don't have any real tips to, a way to manage all this downloading a large file to read later or to watch later, because to me that goes against why I only need 2 gigabytes on my phone,
right?
Because I would never do that. I would just stream it from Netflix or from my own home media server or, somewhere else. The encryption, the way I do it is I have a Linux server here at home that's exposed to the internet, and I have my own cloud and I have my own encrypted storage. I am sure you could go Dropbox, for an example. You could make a folder in your Dropbox, and inside that folder create a encrypted zip file or whatever format, for compressed encrypted files that you can find an app for in Google Play. And I know there are some that'll let you, open encrypted files and store your stuff in that in Dropbox. But to make it work seamless, you're gonna need your own hardware and build your own little cloud.
We should all have our own.
I know that's not the answer. Well, and I know that's not the answer anybody wants to hear, but that's why it works for me.
Right. Oh, I see what it is. All right, just click on the Explore button, and that's what's hot now. They renamed it. It's still not very hot, if you ask me. Just saying. All right. That was a really good question. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah, it was.
Two good questions. All right, one final email, and I'm sorry I couldn't quite make out your name or your forum name that you gave us, but I'm just going to call you somebody because you are somebody.
Hey, Android Central crew. This is Ken Space T in the forum. I'm just wondering, with the trouble that they're having getting Google all of the Nexuses they apparently need, do you think that LG will ever get a contract for another Nexus phone? I wasn't into the Android space whenever the Galaxy Nexus was new, but it seems to me that Samsung or one of these others, HTC, perhaps would have far less of a problem meeting the orders that LG apparently cannot meet. So anyway, love the show and look forward to the new year of shows. Thanks. Bye.
I think so. I mean,
I think we've been over this, and it's not so much LG. They've got massive manufacturing capabilities. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have trouble churning out a few smartphones with Google. The reason,
there's so many. I mean, so much of the behind the scenes stuff, the deals that go on, that I can't even begin to appreciate and understand. That I'm sure just drives the people at the sharp end of the stick, to say nothing of the open source people at Google, just insane. I mean, from where I stand, I would have absolutely no problem with LG making another one with as good as I think the Nexus 4 is.
Yeah, well, the quote today from LG Mobile France is that the estimates from Google based on previous Nexus sales were way below the actual demand. So it's not a case of LG not being able to manufacture enough. It's Google's order to LG not being high enough. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's being corrected right now.
Yeah. And with that, 8 voicemails, a whole lot of news. I'm ready for a nap. I don't know about you guys. Yes? No?
I got some fish sticks to eat.
Hey, you know what I got here? I got something new today. I got a new toy that's not Android. So I got one of those Nike Fuel Bands because February is almost here, and you know what that means?
It means I'm going to laugh at you telling me how tired you are every night from walking.
Mobile Nations Fitness Month. Yeah, we're doing it again, so get ready. So yeah, I figured I'd try Fuel Band this year because my Fitbit is still nowhere to be found from last year. It was too small. I don't know where it is. I figured, you know, I can hold it a little better if it's like actually on my wrist. I won't lose it. So it's, you know, still no Android app, which sucks. I don't know if we're ever... Renee, do you think we're ever going to see one because Nike's so in bed with Apple? And
I hope so, because the Nike Fuel app for iOS sucks. You can only access friends if they're on Facebook, so I have all these friends I can never see. They're not on Facebook. It's just horrible.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten into that part of it yet. I don't know. We'll see. So Mobile Nations Fitness Month is coming up. We'll have some more contests coming up real soon. I've got some Nexus 4 poppers I need to give away as soon as I find a good contest to do it. Hopefully we can get some more Nexus 4 soon to give away. If not, we'll snag some 7s or something. So, Jerry, Alex, any final thoughts? Any last words before we disappear for, well, 6 hours before doing it all again?
I got nothing.
Nope.
Awesome. And with that,
tip your waitress.
With that spectacular end to the podcast, be sure to email us podcast@androidcentral.com. We'll start back up on emails again next week now that we have all the voicemails out from under us. podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Twitter, Android Central, Phil Nickinson, Alex Doby, GBHIL. But really, Google Plus is where it's at. Hey, by the way, Deliver It is now pushing directly to Google Plus, so every story we do is hitting Google Plus now, and not just the ones that we made sure we did ourselves. So that's awesome. That also means you get the deal of the day from the store, which it's only one a day, so I don't really think it's too spammy or anything. What else? So that's important. That's really good stuff. And it's, you know, good on Google for opening up the APIs, finally, a little bit. So cool. So, Google Plus, get us all on there. We are brought to you as we are every week by shopandroid.com. Give them a call at 888-468-6158 or go to their name, shopandroid.com. We call them that because that's also the website. If you haven't seen the teases, we have Lloyd cases on the way as part of Lloyd gear. I don't think they're in there yet. I've got the prototype. I do not, so I can't show them off here on camera right now. But if you go on Google Plus, like today, I just put up a really cool looking case, little teaser that they're working on. So as soon as those are in there, we'll let you know. And they look really, really cool.
If you loved me, you'd send me one.
I'm not sure which ones I have. I think I've got a GS3 and a Note 2. And I'm not sure if I can, like, I don't even know if they actually fit or if they're just like design prototypes or what. So
you can put a Note 2 inside and then send it to me.
And if you want to be like Andrew and Angus and Fernando and George and Joel and Richard and Zach and somebody and leave us a voicemail, you can do it at that same phone number, 888-468-6158, extension 222, or even better, record it on your computer and email it to us at podcast@androidcentral.com, because then it sounds better and I can understand your name and give you the proper credit that you deserve. So... otherwise, 888-468-6158, extension 222. Jerry, Alex, good to be back. Let's do it again next week.
I'll be here.
See ya. I'll be here.
Cool. All right, chat room, see you guys later. Everybody listening at home, thank you so very much. I know I say it every week, but I mean it more every week. So with that, see y'all later.
Toodles. Hey, you yell at me if I don't say goodbye.
Alex didn't say goodbye this
time. I know, it's always...
I said goodbye before.
He's 2 hours in the future. He can tell us what tomorrow's like, but he won't.
Um...